We give thanks to God. May I just ask you to stand up for a while? Okay. Let's shake hands with one another. Just bless somebody. Just say something nice to somebody. Something that comes from your spirit, just say it to somebody. Thank you. Please go ahead and take your seats. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Good. Before we move any further, I would like to announce to you that the offering that we collected to take to Bread of Life came to a total of 21.2 million. Give yourself, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like to thank God for this day. Again, I count it a privilege and an honor to stand before you, great men of, and women of God, to present the great word of God. It's never an easy thing, and I'll never take it lightly. I would like to also thank the leadership of this church, Pastor Walker, for according me this privilege that I can stand and share the word of God with you. And they arrived safely in the States, and they will be attending church service, and tomorrow the program that had gone there begins. The difference about this trip and many other trips that I've made is that this trip, they've made it specifically for the church. They have gone there to learn. They have gone there to be fed. They have gone there just to acquire wisdom, more wisdom, in how to handle a great church like this one. So really we continue committing them in the hands of the Lord. Amen. I pray that we believe and we'll continue and we'll move on and go on committing them in the hand of the Lord until they are back. Today, I'm presenting the word of God. I believe I'll be speaking to somebody today. And that somebody could be you. Please turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 27. I want you to pay close attention to what the Holy Spirit is going to say. I may not be the best preacher. I may not be the best person to interpret the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will make a difference in your life. Where I miss it, He's going to make it clear for you so that you don't miss anything here. And so we're going to read our scripture from the book of Acts. Now, just before we go to Acts chapter 27, I want you to go to Acts chapter 28. Just put your finger or something where Acts chapter 27 is, and then turn your Bible to Acts chapter 28. We'll read three verses there. We'll start from verse 28. The Bible reads, "So I want you to know that this salvation from God has also been offered to the Gentiles, and they will accept it." Verse 30. "For the next 2 years, Paul lived in Rome at his own expense. He welcomed all who visited him, boldly proclaiming the kingdom of God and the teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one tried to stop him." The arrival of Apostle Paul in Rome, and the passage we've read about, is of great significance to what I'm about to share with you. It's not in the context I want to bring this message to you. This significance is not in the fact that he arrived in Rome, so what? Neither is it in the fact that he spoke the word of God boldly, thus was his mission to speak it so. The context I'm presenting it to you is the fact that to me, this is a dream come true. It is the fulfillment of the dream here. I was wondering, you know, later on I started looking at these scriptures. We discovered that we have read the very last verse of Acts, the book of Acts. That very last chapter and the very last verse that we've read. This is great. This is fantastic. Apostle Paul has reached his destination. He's reached the destiny in Rome. And now he's doing that which he was destined to do in Rome. Why is it significant? Of course, the distance was great from Jerusalem to Rome. You look at the map, the distance was great. But that's not what I'm talking about here. It is the fact that he arrived in Rome. Why should that be important to you? Let me tell you something here. Apostle Paul is going to Rome as a prisoner. He got arrested in Jerusalem for declaring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it surprising that somebody can be arrested for preaching good news in a world full of bad news? People not to display and proclaim the bad news, get away with it. But somebody who is proclaiming the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ gets arrested in Jerusalem. And for that information, by religious leaders. And so he's arrested in Jerusalem for declaring the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's held there for trial. And they are saying he must be killed. He must not exist on the face of the earth. He must be killed. Until Apostle Paul appealed. He appealed. His appeal was that he should not be tried in Jerusalem, but that he should be tried by Caesar, not my brother who leads us in present worship here, by Caesar, the Roman emperor in Rome. And so being a Roman, he had that right to demand for that. And so they had no choice but to transfer him from Jerusalem to Rome for trial. Are we together up to this point? Take him. Now, how many people of you here know that when you are a prisoner, being transferred from one prison cell to the other prison cell does not make you a free man or woman? Being transferred from Jerusalem to Rome does not make Apostle Paul a free person. He is still a prisoner. And so Apostle Paul has arrived. His arrival here in Rome is still hasn't changed the status. He's a prisoner. But what is important here is what I want you to see in the book of Acts 27. In between today, in between where you are and your Rome, there is something, a storm, which you're about to read. A storm which was meant to clear his life. A storm which was meant to block his destiny. A storm which was meant to block his vision, his dream, it is there. And some of you, where you are today, is not where you're supposed to be. There is a place where you're supposed to be. There is a place where God is taking you to. But in between today and that place, in some of you, you can even see it with your spiritual eyes. You are not yet there. But in between, there is a storm that is threatening that destiny. And today I want to let you know, as long as you hang on to your faith, as long as you hang on to your hope, as long as you hang on to your dream, no one is going to stop you. A storm. Now let's go to the book of Acts chapter 27. Apostle Paul was there. The Bible says he was in his apartment, rented apartment, preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. From cells into a rented apartment, preaching the good news. That is his destiny. But there is a storm in between here. We'll do well to look at the storm Apostle Paul went through. We'll do well to look at the wisdom of God to help us deal with our own storm until we get to where God wants us to be. Acts 27, verse 13, the Bible reads, When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. And so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not heed into the wind, so gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes and the ship itself to hold it together, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. Verse 18. Serious. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. Everybody says cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Everybody say the hope of being saved. This is the last thing you would like to throw away. Hope of being delivered. Hope of getting out of your situation. Hope of seeing the sun again. But they gave it up. Verse 21. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." It is still serious. 23. Last night, Apostle Paul goes on, an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand the trial before Caesar." That is, you must get in Rome in spite of this storm. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So, keep up your courage. May, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run around. We must run aground on some island. This is the story about this trip. This is the story about this journey. And that's why I say you must listen very carefully. For the arrival of Paul in Rome is something great, is something significant. 2 weeks ago, allow me to say this. A week ago, we were visiting part of our family in Emmersdale. And so we were there, we sat in the house, and suddenly, when we were going, everything was okay, the weather was okay, everything was fine. And we were in the house, chatting, talking, you know, families. Suddenly, I noticed there was wind outside. And this wind started blowing. As usual, I thought, oh, it's about to rain. This rain is preceded by wind. And so, there was wind. But then, when I stood and peeked through the window, this wind was quite strong. And the trees started shaking in a dangerous way. There was the rain, there were just some drizzles falling, and suddenly I saw hailstones falling, and everything was shaking. I asked the owners of the house to close the windows. It reminded me of some time back. A friend of mine were driving to a shopping mall somewhere. And he's driving, I'm a visitor, I don't know the place. And suddenly we found ourselves in a rainfall. We entered into the rain. And this rain was violent. There was so much wind. And when we look at where we are going, we saw some branches actually falling from the trees. And the brother stopped the car and told me, "William, we have entered a storm." And I'm saying, "Oh, so what do we do?" He said, "We are turning now. I'm going back home." He turned the car and we rushed back home. And when we reached home, he said, "William, let's go take shelter in the toilet." How many people know that when you visit, you are a visitor, and the owner of the place tells you, "With this situation, we'll go to hide in toilet." How many people know that you will have to obey and go hide in toilet? I had no choice. Him and I went to hide in toilet. At the back of my mind, I was saying, "My goodness, if children enter this house and find this old man hiding in toilet, what questions are they likely to ask?" But I had to comply. We entered the toilet, and I'm asking him, "Why hiding in toilet?" And he said, "You know what, my brother? The toilet is the strongest place in the whole of this structure here. That storm you see has the capability of crushing this entire building. But the last part that is going to be destroyed is the toilet." So with that answer, my questions were done. My worry, my concerns were done. And so we went to hide in toilet until the rain was over. The storm was over. And we checked on the internet. And for sure, it was sweeping across that area. But we were safe. How many people know that? Even in toilet, you can be safe. If people can be safe in the toilet, they can be safer in Jesus Christ. I was talking about that storm in Emmersdale. So at the end of that rain, Emmersdale, we entered our cars. We were driving back. You know that school opposite Emmersdale police station? We found the wall, the security wall, was completely flat. Right from the main road up to the gate, from the gate up to the other end. Flat. I saw a billboard with things like that one there. Twisted and just thrown down. Do people know what I'm talking about? And later on in the press, we read news. Hey, that bread of life has been hit. Not only that, one life is lost. My heart bled up to now. Yes, you know, that was a grand day for them. They invited. I would have been in that building that day with my senior pastor. Pastor Hawk and I should have been in that building at that particular time, hadn't it been for this unashamed concert which was here. And so we decided that we shall attend the previous day. We should have been there. But in this thing, the storm had ripped off that building. My heart bled, or my heart bled, not because of the amount of money that has gone there to build that thing. Not because of the amount of time, the length of time it has taken to get there. Not because of the beauty of the structure. But one, that, you know, one life was lost. But what really blessed my heart is a few days later, I read in some of this media, I look into some of the things I've written, the writing about the leadership, about the church. And unfortunately, some of those writings are coming from believers. I say, how many people, how many times have we lost to people in road accidents? A bus hitting a tree, collision. How many times have we lost people because the roof that they built themselves has collapsed on them? How many times have we lost people because a bridge has been swept away? Who was to blame? And why should people take to write such remarks on men and women of God after a thing like that has happened? I would have thought that believers would have risen and prayed with them. Thank God for Miracle Life Family Church. Thank God for the leadership of this church, and I mean it. When we heard a thing like that has happened, when you people were giving offering that day, that's the first time we knew the extent of the damage right here, and the decision was made, and you people gave generously. That 21.2 million was given by you to them, apart from your prayers. Now, while other people were organizing themselves, an injury to one is an injury to all. When our brother is touched, we are all touched. For people to celebrate after a thing like that has happened, for people to write what I'm seeing in the paper about them like that, have we lost it as church? And I've seen some of the people that have written. Have some of you read The Watchdog? Well, some people that have written are Christians. Have we lost it? And we are aware of Miriam and Aaron getting leprosy on the spot because they are talking about Moses? Haven't we heard of people that have been swallowed by the ground? It just opened up on the ship. All of them were swallowed up. Haven't we read David, sparing Saul. I shall not touch the anointed. Bishop Makando may have his own weaknesses. But does he deserve, after what they are going through, what we are writing in the paper? Does it take an insult to correct the man of God? It just shows that some people, either they are out of church, or the church has gone out of them. Instead of kneeling and praying and standing with our brothers, you touch one Jew in this nation, you see what is going to happen. You're not going to mess up with a Jew. Touch one. You provoke the whole Israel. You kill one, they will kill thousands of yours. That's how serious they are. But why come as Christians? You touch one, everybody fold their arms and they begin to write. Can I let you know? Let me say this. He is human. He may have made his own mistakes. But does he deserve that? To be insulted? Does he deserve to be condemned? What you saw is not God's condemnation. God has got nothing to do with the accident. It's an accident. It's a storm. If you are here, you are one of those that are posting those things anyway. Could you please go and retract that? Could you remove them from there? And pray to God. Amen. Are you still with me? You see what? In the Old Testament, things like that will cause a curse on you right away. But thank God for the grace. Hallelujah. We are under grace. But let me tell you one thing. When you attack a man of God, what they are taking advantage of is the fact that Reverend Bishop Imakando, he is not going to answer back. Because if he answers back the same way they are treating him, and people are going to say, hey, look at the man of God, he's insulted. But let me tell you something. When you attack a man or woman of God, and they don't answer you back, guess who answers you on their behalf? Grace points you to God. It does not take you away from God. If you're one of them, would you please consider taking it out? It's not for you. The Bible calls that names. And go in the Bible, you find a lot of stories about things like that. It's dangerous for the body of Jesus Christ. It's not even fit for us. Because we are supposed to bring out what is abundant in our heart. Amen. That was a storm. That was not the topic I'm preaching about. Hallelujah. Can we preach a bit and then we close? I don't know why I've gone that far. But God knows. I'm not a bread of life. I'm not a bread of life member. But you know what? They're my brothers. He's my bishop. Why should people train themselves to be insulting men of God at will? God forgive us. And so we see here, on his way to Rome, Paul is a prisoner, going there to stand trial before Caesar. And there were over 260 people in that ship. So Paul had to be sent to Rome. They were sending him there for trial, but God had a different agenda. In verse 18, God had told Apostle Paul that he would be going to Rome to preach the gospel, not to go and be bound in the cells. The cells in Rome were not the destiny for Paul, but to preach the gospel was the destiny for Paul. Now, they started sailing. They left Caesarea by sea and headed for the Mediterranean. So the journey started quite well, and they started sailing because they were fairly close to the land. Everything appeared to be okay. But the Bible said, suddenly, there was a storm. Suddenly, there was a fierce storm. God had spoken before to Paul when they reached the island of Crete, and he told them because they changed ships there. And God appeared to Paul and said, tell the captain not to sail, not to start off. Tell the captain to hang around. God had spoken. Tell them not to start off. And he was specific. If they do, they will enter a storm that may threaten your lives and your cargo. Brothers and sisters, when God speaks, we better listen. When God speaks, we better listen. And as a believer, before you make any serious decision in your life, you better consult God. The problem we have with believers is this. We fear to consult God when we are about to make a large and a huge decision, because we feel when we tell God, he's going to get it wrong. Some people feel, when I tell God about this marriage I'm about to enter, about this sister I'm about to marry, God is going to cause me to stop marrying her and marry an ugly woman. Or he's going to cause me to marry a man who is broke. No cell phone. Broke. Therefore, this one I've found. I don't need to consult God. It's like, God, you are out of my choices. You are out of my decision. All I'm asking you to do is to endorse. Hallelujah. Have you all come across something familiar? And yet the Bible says, every good gift, every endowment comes from the Lord without any variation of a shadow. And so, the wife you have now and the challenges you're going through, you are having, it's not that you married a knife. You married a wife. And the guy you have now, not that you married a lion. No, you married a man. Chances are that probably at the beginning, you never consulted God. Or maybe you consulted, or you never consulted. Somebody might have told you that the relationship you are going into, I can see some gray areas. And they say, no, forget about that. You're just jealous of me. You see what I'm talking about? When God speaks, let's pay attention. It's a serious business for a believer. God spoke and they ignored him and they started sailing. And now they are in trouble here. God can speak to you, my brother, through his word, through prayer and worship, and also through his servants. Now, they are in a storm. You remember they are going to Jerusalem? There is a storm. Look at what happens when you are in a storm. Listen to what they are saying. In verse 20 they are saying, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, this is quite depressing. And no small tempest beat on us, and no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Without hope, things will be serious in a storm. Hope is the last thing you need to lose in a situation like that. Without hope, there is no faith. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says faith is the substance of things not seen. It's the substance of things. Nothing. But it is the substance of things hoped for. Now you lose hope, there will be no faith. Hope is the last thing. Without hope, there is no faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So loss of hope is dangerous. Storms can cause loss of property. It can cause loss of lives. Storms can cause loss of hope. And so when you lose hope, you lose everything. In a storm, people, not only do they lose food, they lose appetite as well. Storms of life can find anybody. All of us here, it's not as whether or not, all of us here are subject to entering a storm. Storms of life are everywhere. They can affect the educated and the uneducated. They can affect the professionals and non-professionals. The rich and the poor, a storm can hit anybody. In that ship, we had educated people there, skilled people. They were there, the captain of the ship. We had soldiers there. We had rulers, the owners of the ship. They were there, including the man of God, Apostle Paul, was there. But they found themselves in this storm. So storm can find anybody. Another thing about this storm. Storm can happen. Not because. There are many reasons storms can happen. A. It can happen because of our own fault. Our own failure. Or our own mistakes. B. Storms can happen because of the sins, failures and mistakes of other people. Especially those that have influence on us. Storms, C. can sometimes happen just because of circumstances beyond our control. Storms in life can happen. But listen, Jesus Christ said this. He says storms are unavoidable. In your life, a storm is unavoidable. This is what Jesus Christ said in John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Message Bible puts it this way. I have told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I have conquered the world. The word tribulation here means pressure, it means anguish, it means persecution, it also means trouble. Now, Jesus was not becoming a prophet of doom here. There was something he was mentioning here. There was something he wanted us to learn. He meant to inspire us that persecution, trouble, anguish will come. But when we are in him, we are safe. We can sing in the midst of a storm. We can rejoice and eat in the midst of a storm. Jesus Christ was showing us that there is victory in the storm for those that believe in him. Storms can be for an individual. Storms can be for a family. Storms can be for a nation. Storms can be for a region. And storms can be for the whole globe. So we can all find ourselves in the storms. Now what is important here? What I want to share with you. You remember Apostle Paul is traveling from Jerusalem to go and face trial in Rome. But their agenda, God's agenda, is that he goes to Rome not to face trial and be jailed, but to preach the good news. Each one of us has got a Rome. But remember, there is a storm in between. To get there, there is a storm. Some of you remember the plans that you put on paper some years back. Do you know why you haven't gotten there? Some of you have got wonderful business plans. And up to now, nothing is working for them. Why do you think it is so? Some of you have everything in place, but your plans are not taking off. What do you think is happening? Some of you completed school some time back. You've got good grades. And you're supposed to be hired and get a nice job. That is your dream. Why aren't things happening to you? Some of you, you are wonderful ladies. Beautiful in looking. You look like angels. But you're not getting married. Every brother that comes your way, they come in today and they tumble out tomorrow. What is happening out there? Hallelujah. Everybody say a storm. What do we do? That's what I want to look at briefly. Then we close this thing. I believe we can learn from Apostle Paul. How did he handle the storm to get his destination? Be careful, my brother. When you are in a storm, look out for what? No, I made a comment in the first service. The greatest danger of a storm is not its ability to sweep things around. The greatest danger of a storm is not its ability to crush things. Yes, it is bad. It is dangerous. But the greatest danger of a storm, and I believe the devil aims it for that, is its ability to crush your hope. It is its ability to end your journey where you don't realize your dream. You don't realize your destiny. That's what the storm is all about. Here, they lost property in a storm. I don't know how much you have lost in your storm. I don't know how much cargo you have lost in your storm. I don't know how much threats are there now on your life in the storm. But I want to let you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are not going to drown. No, there are things you need to do so that you don't drown. Some of you, tomorrow or this week, a brother must be coming your way. You've been in a storm for a long time. Some of you, I entered a shop 2 months ago, one of the shops around in the shopping mall. I was looking for something and I entered this shop. Apparently the gentleman who was the manager there knew me some years back. I worked with him somewhere. And I'm entering this place. The beautiful things, big things there. I come. Suddenly, one person entered and his wife. And when I looked around, they were coming to me. Oh, hi, Pastor. I looked around. They're members of this church. And they got 2 big items from that shop. And the manager comes to me. He said, Pastor, for the past month, we haven't sold anything. It has been dry in here. I'm shocked. You have never stepped in this shop. But you enter this shop, I've sold 2 big items, those things that are going. This is the first sale we are making today. And I say, it's not that I entered this place. It's just that time for you to start selling has come. May your business begin to move to the next level this week. You've been in a storm for a long time. And may anything that you have lost as a result of the storm be replaced. But above all, I pray for you. May you see your dream, your room, for you to go and preach the good news there. Let's learn from Apostle Paul. Some of you here have got trouble. The storm you are going through is in your body. I once was healed of ulcers. They say ulcers are not things that could not be healed. When they were diagnosed of me some years back, it was a bad thing that I had to receive 7, what do you call them? Those drips, what do you call those? The drips or what? What do you call those? Those things that put water in you? Drips. 7 of those in a go. for me to survive. And at the end of it all, the doctor looks at me and says, you know what? Unfortunately, you have to live with this. Living with that, the pain that I was going through. It used to be bad in the winter. The moment the weather turns cold, that was trouble for me. Until one day, I said, I'm talking to God. But I carry this sin for how long? So much pain in my body. When you created my stomach, those things they found there, they were not there. Oh Lord, how can I suffer this for a long time? Can I tell you, a year ago, I was in the UTH. I was not sick. They wanted just to examine everything about me. They put that, you call that what? Endoscopy? Endoscopy is a camera that goes through your mouth. It goes into the stomach to check what is there. May I announce to you that the doctor that did endoscopy was one time in my office and declared to me, there is no trace of anything in your stomach. You have been in a storm for a long time. May God remove you from that storm. Let's see what you need to do. Let's learn from Apostle Paul. One, he fasted and prayed. You know, prayer does not change God's mind. Prayer and fasting doesn't. But you know what it does? It aligns your spirit with the Spirit of God. Prayer and fasting takes the attention from this body into your spirit. When your spirit and the Spirit of God is aligned, things happen in your body. This body has got a lot of demands because this is the one that comes into contact with the things around here. And therefore, the demand for the body are so high. This is the guy that knows Nando's. This is the guy that knows Levi's corner has been opened. When your spirit is aligned with the Spirit of God, fantastic. You will tend to hear God speak in your life. You will get the voice of God like that. And so Apostle Paul fasted and prayed. So was able to hear God. Secondly, he was constantly in God's presence and kept his faith in God's word. Being in God's presence constantly. How long ago did you last spend time with God? You know, when we worship God, when we praise Him in our closet, when we spend intimate time with God, we tend to hear His heartbeat. Some of you are saying, no, the other day, your friend buys your wife a chicken sausage. And then your wife said, my goodness, I like this thing so much. And you look at her, you've been with her for 20 years. And now you are surprised, say, how come I didn't know that you like chicken sausage? Sir, the reason is that you don't spend time with your wife. How can she know? How do you know that she likes chicken sausage when she eats from Nando's at Levi's Corner and you always eat her from Arcade's? Now, how can you know the heart of God if you don't spend time with Him? You know, when you do not spend time with God, even when He speaks to you in a storm, you are not going to differentiate the voice of God and your own imagination. Because you are not familiar. Some of you, if you shout where you are, I will know exactly who you are because I've spent time with you. Some of you, you can speak as many words as you can. I'm not even going to know until I see you facially. Apostle Paul spent time with God. When he did that, he was able to hear God. You remember what he said to Moses? With my servant Moses, we speak face to face. Apostle Paul was constantly, Jesus Christ was constantly in the presence of God. That's why he said, my will is to do, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Every time, Jesus Christ never made the mistake. You know why? Because he was ever in the presence. Now, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could be so much in the presence of God, how much presence of God do we need in our lives? See, he refused to be bitter with the people that he was going with. Even after warning them not to go, they violated his word. But when they were in trouble, he instead encouraged them. He encouraged them instead of letting them drown. If it was you and I, chances are that we're going to say, let them drown. After all, they were trying to kill me. After all, they didn't even listen. After all, they are taking me for trial. It's better they drown here. But he never did that. You know, when you are in the spirit, you tend to hear God. Apostle Paul looked at things differently. You must understand why. Because the spirit of God with him was in him. He was able to discern the things of God. The Bible says, the things of God cannot be understood by carnal minds because they are spiritually discerned. D. Let me say something before we go to D. There was something that Apostle Paul says that he was told. He says, you are not going to die, even those that are sailing with you. Those that are with you in the boat. Apostle Paul had people in his boat. Sinners as they were. Disobedient as they were. They were in his boat. And God said they should not die. How many people are in your boat? In your family? Those that you have called names? Those of you that have got stepchildren? What names are you calling them? Do you know that they are your responsibility? To pray for them? To feed them? To take care of them? Do you know that they are in your responsibility to bring them to church? How many people are sailing with you? D. He never lost his dream to preach in Rome. While everybody else was losing hope, he embraced hope. He had faith in God. Finally, he reached Rome and preached the good news. A person who loses hope, faith and destiny loses sense of direction. They believe anything that comes their way. They have fear and they are without confidence. God becomes their last option. They lose their GPS. A certain taxi driver, I was watching the other day, Pastor Max Lucado, that author, I think he's got books there as well. And Pastor Max said a statement. He was being interviewed. And he mentioned this story. He said, when, you know, September 11 in the U.S., when the Twin Towers collapsed, one taxi driver was asked a question. On your part, the fall and the collapse of the Twin Towers, what loss is on your path because of the fall of these towers. And the taxi driver said, I have lost the bearing. So each time I'm driving around, when I'm lost, I used to check and search for where the twin towers were. Then I would find my way. Now the twin towers are gone. I've lost my bearing. Can I tell you? Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. You'll lose your bearing. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Let me end this stuff here. Don't lose your bearing. Don't lose your hope. You know what? Even when it is hurting so much, even when it is paining so much, even when you have spent so much time, it doesn't seem to be coming forth. Let me tell you, the best is yet to come for you. Your hour is coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Not because I've spoken it, but because God has declared it for you. You've been in a storm for a long time. There is a destiny. There is a realm for you. Guard it. Keep it until you get there. And you have got an assignment for someone out there. It is in you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Your realm exists. It may be to finance some ministry, to evangelize some ruler of the land, maybe to stand up and speak for the less privileged, but your realm exists. Now listen to what the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, Hebrews 10, 23, the Bible reads, let us hold fast the profession or the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. In the New Living Translation, the Bible reads, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 to verse 39, the Bible reads, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. That's why you don't need to cast it away. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. In conclusion, I repeat what I've just said. We can learn more from Apostle Paul's strategy coming out of the storm. He fasted and prayed. He was constantly in God's presence. He refused to yield to the devil's tactics of growing in bitterness and in anger to people that are indifferent to him. He believed and trusted God even in the midst of a storm. And he remained focused until he preached the good news in Rome, which was his destiny. You will make it, my brother. You will make it, my sister. You will not drown in the pool of your circumstances, because your faith in God will see you through. Be like Joseph in the Old Testament, rejected by his own brothers and sold to foreigners, slandered by a woman who tried to seduce him, imprisoned for an offense he never even attempted to commit. He had a dream that he would never let go of. He lost many things in the process, but held on to his dream of his destiny. Why can't you be like Paul? I said the subject, the title for this message was, until the Lord says it is over. It is not over yet. You are seeing, you have been seeing how great, how big your storm is. Now today I want you to see how great our God is. The God who removed the Apostle Paul from this storm, bad as it was, they lost many things, but they never lost their lives. You have been seeing the magnitude of that storm because you have been seeing it with your own eyes. Now today, magnify God in your life. Let God be big. Let God be great. And you see how shrinking this storm is going to be in your life. Our God is a great God. Caesar and your group, would you please come and minister with me to the front? Our God is a great God. Our God is a big God. You cannot compare God with anything. Where God is in charge, where God is in control, where God is magnified, storms shrink. Anything that you think of shrink, anything that you know big, it becomes small. Our God is a great God. He's a big God. If He has promised to be with you, He will be with you. He will never leave you. If God is with you in the storm will not swallow you. Jesus was in the storm. He was taking a nap. Take a nap for a while. In Jesus. Hallelujah. May things start to happen in your life. Look at the great God. Forget looking at the small things. Be on top and see the storm. From the top and not the thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, guys. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Rushi. Thank you.
have been stuck in that stuck marriage for a long time. It's not taking you anywhere. That marriage is not going to make sense to you. But I want to declare to you, I invite Jesus Christ in that marriage and see the difference in it. Some of you have been stuck with those disobedient children. But I want you to invite God. Let God build the towers in your home for the first time and magnify our God. In Jesus' mighty name, some of you are stuck with the words that your ancestors and your grandpa spoke to you and your parents. You have been stuck for a long time. Let God come and reign in your life in Jesus' name. And begin to see the results and begin to move. You've got a destiny to reach. You've got a room to preach the word. You've got a place to take good news. The testimony of what the Lord has done in your life. The healing that has taken place in your marriage. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, worship Him. Just worship Him. Oh, just worship Him. Just for a while. Speak to Him in your language. Speak to Him in your words. In your own voice. Just speak to Him. He's a good Father. He's a good Lord. Father, we bless you. Oh, yes. You are big God. You're a great God. You're higher than anything, Father. Higher than any mountain. Higher than anything. Oh, any storm. Father, we thank you. We bring every storm. Oh, before you in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare your greatness upon your people. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. As we prepare to enter new year, we are landing in our place. We are landing in our destiny. We shall not lose our bearing. Because you are in charge of us, Father. Father, we thank you. Bless you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now listen to me. While your eyes close, please, no one makes a move. These are decisive moments. No one makes a move. No one looks around. Mind your business. These are very precious moments to some people right now. Just speak to God silently. No one says anything. No one moves anyway. Just speak to God. If there's nothing to talk to God about, it's all right, but just be silent before the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the surgery that you are conducting right now in many lives. Thank you, Father, for the theater. Hallelujah. Where you are the doctor, the physician right now. Thank you for you. Such a competent physician. Such a competent doctor. Never make a mistake. Hallelujah. You go to right where the problem is. Right now in Jesus' name. And it is uprooted. For anything that the Father did not plant shall be uprooted in the name of Jesus. And it's being uprooted right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In this place. At this hour. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your move. Thank you for your touch. God individually. Every eye closed, every head bowed. While each one of us is speaking to God, you are here, you are saying, Pastor, I'm not even a part of what you're talking about. I can't communicate with my God. I'm outside the family. I can't ask God to be my great God in the storm of my life. I can't, because I don't know Jesus Christ. I haven't received Him as my Lord and my Savior. While others are talking to their God individually, and you are here, say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus Christ. I want to be part of this. And you are here. You haven't known Jesus Christ. Therefore, your room is actually shielded. The devil has shielded it. He's been lying to you for a long time that you can make it without Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that He is here to accept you the way you are. And you say, Pastor, what I've done, you don't know. I just stumbled into this church by mistake because I was invited. I don't think what I've done can be accepted, but I want to let you bring it to Jesus Christ. He's waiting for you. He wants to put you where you're supposed to be. And you are here. You want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ just where you are. I want you to raise your hand real high. I want to see your hand. Say, Pastor, it's me. I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Raise your hand. I want to see it high. Every hand, every other hand, please put it down. Those of you that are raising hands now, put your hands down. I only want the hands of those that are answering to this altar call. If you are accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, put your hand real high. I want to see it. Where you are, just raise it. Thank you, my brother over there. Thank you, my sister over there. Thank you. Who will join this? Who will join? Thank you, my brother over there. Who will join this? Thank you, my sister over there. Who else? Who else? These are defining moments. No one looks around. No one moves. No one talks. No one says anything. You are silent where you are. Speak to God. Who will join this? There is somebody else. Thank you very much for that hand over there. These are precious souls coming to the Lord. Thank you for that hand over there. Anyone who will join, thank you for this hand over here. Thank you. Who else will join this? In the name of Jesus. Who else will join this? Thank you for that hand over there. Who is joining this? The time is running. This is a precious time. Thank you for that hand. I can see it there. Who else is joining this in the name of Jesus Christ? What a moment for you. What a moment for you. In Jesus' name. You know, now I want to do one thing. All of you that raise your hand, just leave where you are silently, because others are still being dealt with by the Lord. And everybody that has raised their hand, I would like to invite you where you are, pick up your cell phone or your bag, anything that you came with, just quietly walk to the front and meet with me. I would like to pray with you. Just walk to the front here. If you're here, everybody that raised your hand, please just walk to the front here. I want to meet you right here in front. Just walk. Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. Please walk to the front here. Thank you. Thank you. Please walk to the front here. Everybody walk here. Just stand here. Everybody, please walk. I saw your hand. Just walk here. Just line up here. In Jesus' mighty name. Just come here. Please, ushers, help them come. Yes, come here. Come to the front here. I saw some hands. Yes, please. Just come to the front here. Thank you. Some people raise their hands. I can see them here. Please come to the front here now. You're so precious to be left alone. Just come to the front here. You raise your hand. Just come here. I want to see you here in front. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? There is one more. Where are you? You raise your hand. Can I see you in front here? Yes. Come here. Rev C, Rev Shu, please. Just walk, come to the front with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is what the Bible says, know those that labor among you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Rev. Thank you, Jesus. I just don't know why I feel doing like this. We're going to ask you to make a confession. And then Rev. Steve and I are going to lay hands on you. Just lay hands on you. Just I want all of you to raise your hand. Your right hand, raise it. If you felt like raising your hand, you didn't while we were making this altar call. But now, you feel convinced and you want to join them. Please, can you make your way to the front right now in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Just walk to the front. If you didn't raise your hand, but now you feel like raising your hand, or you feel like joining this, just at this important hour, we'll give you a chance. Can you walk to the front right now? in the name of Jesus Christ. God loves you so much. He loves you too much to go back the way you came. Thank you, Lord. Brothers and sisters, I want you to say this after me. Those of you that are there, if the Lord is still speaking to you, go ahead and continue speaking to the Lord. But those of you that can join us, you can join us and say the following words. And now, brothers and sisters, you can say the following words. Father God, repeat this after me. Father God, I come to you as I am. I realize I'm a sinner. I turn my back against you. But today, I've come. Your word says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. Today, I'm being saved. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Be Lord and Savior of my life. I now turn my back from the devil. I now live for you. Father, live in me. Let my name be written in the book of life. I'm committing my life to you for the rest of my life. I will serve you. I will worship you. I will live for you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for pulling me out of the kingdom of the devil and accepting me in the kingdom of your Son. Thank you for your blood. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Rev, can we just pray for these dear ones? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because, Lord, you have a great plan and purpose for him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Forever. Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the cleansing.
Jesus.
All things have become new.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you very much. Now look at me. Thank you, Rev. See, Brother Andrew there. I just want you to follow him to the room of prayer where he would like to pray for you for a short while. Then you're going to be back to join the rest of the family. You are not going to take long. So please, if you can join me. Now for the rest of you, I've spoken about the storm. I don't know the storm you're going through, but it's not over till the Lord says it is over. I just want to pray for you. Shortly, just where you are. If you feel you are one of those that you need, just a contact. Just where you are. Just raise your hand and say, I need prayer right now. Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's close our eyes. Maintain your hand raised, those of you. Thank you. But all of us, we can close our eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I lift this precious soul before you. I don't know the storms of life they're going through, but you know them very well. Some of them, Father, have already been presented to you. Some of them have been a secret in their lives. And today, Father, you are doing a surgery in their lives. The light begin to shine in their lives again. Today, may they see the hand of God. May they see the glory of God. May they see the power of the great God. Father, in the name of Jesus, may your healing fall upon each one of these. May every storm be calmed, every mountain be raised, every valley be leveled in Jesus' name. Father, may you be glorified in the lives of these wonderful believers in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. You are dismissed. God bless you.